it starts at verse 6. The Gibeonites then sent word to Joshua in the camp at Gilgal. Do not abandon your servants. Come up to us quickly and save us. Help us, because of the Amorite kings from the hill country have joined forces against us. So Joshua marched up from Gilgal with his entire army, including all the best fighting men. The Lord said to Joshua, do not be afraid of them. I have given them into your hand. Not one of them will be able to withstand you. After all night march from Gilgal, Joshua took them by surprise. The Lord threw them into confusion before Israel, who defeated them in a great victory at Gibeon. Israel pursued them along the road going up to Beth Horon and cut them down all the way to Achaiah and Makkedah. As they fled before Israel on the road down from Beth Horon in Acherah, the Lord hurled large hailstones down on them from the sky, and more of them died from the hailstones than were killed by the sword of the Israelites. On the day the Lord gave the Amorites over to Israel, Joshua said to the Lord in the presence of Israel, O sun, stand still over Gibeon, O moon, over the valley of Ashkelon. So the sun stood still and the moon stopped till the nation avenged itself on the enemies, as it is written in the book of Joshua. The sun stopped in the middle of the day and delayed going down about a full day. Then has never been a day like it before, since a day when the Lord listened to can't see what it says. Only the Lord was fighting to it for Israel. Then Joshua returned with all Israel to the camp of Gilgal.
Thank you very much. Can anyone remember what happened in the UK on the 11th of August 1999? I know, you're all too young. Anyone know what happened in North America on the 21st of August this year? Who said that? I thought, all right. Excellent, well done. A total solar eclipse. An amazing cosmic experience where the sun, moon, and the earth line up to reveal the sun's atmosphere, its corona, giving us one of the most amazing celestial performances. And did you know that solar eclipses happen somewhere around the world every 6 months? And in Joshua 10, we read of a similar, but an even greater event performed by the Lord. The day the sun stood still. And one of the things I love about the Old Testament is that it's filled with many accounts of fascinating and sometimes very strange miracles performed by God. I wonder if you can recognize some of these, where God rained down fire and brimstone out of the heavens on Sodom and Gomorrah. He parted the Red Sea. He turned water into blood. He brought water out of a rock. Then, of course, there's the plagues of frogs and lice and flies and locusts, and he made a donkey talk. And here in chapter 10, verse 13, we see that God answers Joshua's prayer and he stops the sun. And there's not been a day like it since. So let's just remind ourselves of a few things. I know it's been a couple of weeks now since we looked at Joshua. What are the towns already captured by Joshua on because of the orders of God? There's the town of Jericho and the town of Ai. Excellent. Wonderful. You do listen, or you know the Bible, one of the two, or both. And so, and a couple of weeks ago, we looked at the Gibeonites who had tricked Joshua into making a treaty with him. And we saw how Joshua was a man of integrity and he'd kept his word even when he'd realized he'd been tricked into it. Well, we reach the time now in Joshua where it hasn't taken much time for the rest of the kings and the inhabitants of the promised land for them to hear about what Joshua was all about. And they decide to form an ally amongst themselves to come up against Joshua. Their pride stopping them from submitting to God's will. And they looked at the situation and they decided, as their strategic aim, was that they would go after the Gibeonites and see how that would goad Joshua. So five of the kings form this alliance and they send their armies to attack the Gibeonites to teach them a lesson for not going with them and going with Joshua. And this is where we pick up into the story today. And we see the Gibeonites, see the Amorite armies coming up against them and knew that it was going to be a tough battle. So remembering their peace treaty, they sent for Joshua and the armies of Israel to come and save them. Joshua and Israel would respond to their cry since they did indeed have this peace treaty with them and they came up and wanted to help defend them. And in some respects, if we just take a step back and put New Testament glasses on, not much has changed today. When people align with God and Jesus, there will be those that want to come up and oppose it. That those who will come up with anger and hatred when the purposes of God are being played out. So not much has changed. We know what a wonderful and amazing message it is in the gospel. And even as we go out and we come across people, I'm always amazed of the lie that Satan tells that people don't want to know the gospel today. It's out of date. It's not relevant. Because whenever you talk to people, their hearts and their minds open up and they want to know more. When we present the King of Kings, the Prince of Peace, the king who wanted to usher in a kingdom of love and peace, people want to know more. We know that to be a disciple of Jesus and live as he has instructed us will give us the best life possible. But that message rubs up against those that still want to have things their way. The message of submission to the will of God, to admit we can't do things on our own, that we need a saviour, is still as controversial today as it was in the days of Joshua. And as we look around the Western world being taken over by Christmas, I think since about September that I first saw the first things in shops around Christmas, with all its glitz, with its inevitable debt, the false promises, the lies about who Father Christmas is. Shh. Don't want to get myself into trouble there. But the images of this perfect life that you can have if you just buy this perfect gift and then everything's going to be all right that we see on the televisions with adverts at the moment. And we just don't need to look very far today, do we? To just see how far people can go from God and the things that they would rather put their trust in than put their trust in God. Jesus did not come to get people into debt for buying presents, because he is the present that pays all debts. Jesus did not come so that we could pretend to love each other and have peace. One of the chaps I was talking to yesterday, he was like, why do people just do it on one day? Why can't we do it every day? I was like, well, actually, that's the kingdom that Jesus came to usher in. But the world will say, let's just be nice for one day. When we get the kingdom of God, the light in the darkness coming in, it will rub up against those who want to oppose it and want their will and not God's. And when we look at the news and the stories this week, that family that burns in a home. There was another story about a woman who's gone to prison for 4 years because her dog savagely attacked several children in a park after they knew the dog was dangerous and she was instructed to have it destroyed. People's selfishness and their desires for what they want You know, this is why the message of Jesus needs to be told to our generation. And when we look around, we can think, well, there's not much joy, is there? There's not much things to help us to focus on with Jesus and the hope. But that's the point. That joy and that hope comes when we actively seek God and when we rest in Jesus and his long-term promises. Being salt and light will mean that we will come up against the world and all it stands for. If you want to people please, then maybe you won't. Life can be very comfortable if we're just busy making sure that everybody stays happy in their world and with their thoughts. But we're not here to do that. That's not the kingdom that Jesus ushered in. We're here to please God and God alone. And doing his will is what we're called to do. It's interesting when we look at Joshua's prayer and indeed this whole situation with the Gibeonites. God could have allowed the Gibeonites to fight this battle all by themselves to punish them for deceiving Joshua and the Israelites. And for another, God could have told Joshua, well, you got yourself into this mess, now you can get yourself out of it. He could have allowed Joshua and the Israelite army to go into this battle without his divine protection, just as he had done at Ai earlier. We're reminded in Romans 8, though, we know that all things work together for good to them that love God. By his goodness and his grace, God can take our stupidest mistakes. He can take our foolish decisions, and he can take our ill-advised plans and work them out in ways that bring glory and honor to him. I don't know if, like me, you've ever found yourself that you've messed up and you really know you've messed up. Whether you've ever made some really bad decisions without seeking the will of God. And then seen that God looks beyond ourselves and our foolish ways. That God decides to bless us anyway. And he decides to bless us in spite of ourselves. And so Joshua responds. And we see in verse 8 that God encourages him to go and fight the battle. You see, I think another surprise for God's people today is that we're not spiritual pacifists. We need to be passionate and we need to fight. In the Old Testament, as we've looked at a couple of times with Joshua, it was physical. There was physical fighting. But in New Testament times, it's spiritual. But we are to fight. We cannot sit around and leave it to God. We have to pray and pray and pray and fast and pray again and fast and pray again. Isn't it just wonderful to hear the news of Hannah's friend? That is just amazing. To sit and pray. We're not going to accept what Satan wants in this world. And we need to spiritually fight. When we do that, then spiritual strongholds and all manner of spiritual battles will be won. We're not called to sit down and do nothing. God encouraged them not to fear, and he promised them victory. We're not to fear our spiritual enemies, whatever they are, because fear is a great obstacle. So many things have not been accomplished because of fear. And I'm not quite sure why Christians are quiet, timid, and silent, because that's not the church that Jesus built. Jesus started a radical revolution to bring his kingdom in. We as Christians today need to be as radical, if not more radical, to bring in and continue to be ushering in the kingdom that Jesus brought. Any victory that comes to us will be accomplished because of the fight and the passion that we have within us. If we want something so desperately. Yesterday, I know it's not funny telling stories of my grandchildren, but we took them up to the Wintershall Nativity, which was absolutely amazing and just blessed me immensely with all the stuff with going on Christmas. I don't know if you see, it's the outdoor play of various aspects of Jesus, and obviously this time of year it was the Nativity. Really, really amazing. But Phoebe, our youngest granddaughter, who's four, decided that she didn't want to come. She quite fancied staying at home with mummy on her own, and really kicked off and didn't want to come. And I was quite happy. I was quite happy not to take a screaming grandchild with me to a play. And Jenny was like, actually, I really need to do some work. I need to do all these kinds of things. And so she was... You had this battle of Phoebe being passionate, I want to stay with my mom, and my daughter being really passionate, going, no, I've planned these couple of hours of peace to catch up on a few things, and was bribing her with all manner of things. She doesn't normally do that at all. She's a quite strict mother, and I just was smiling, going, yes, it comes to us all when we need that, and actually offered her the gingerbread house that we'd made the day before to eat in the car, our car, crumbs everywhere, so that she would come. And it's just that passion, you know? Do you get what I'm saying? Is that when you really want something, when your whole world depends on it, then you go all out, don't you? You know? And that's what we need, isn't it? And I know those of us who, you know, it's the end of term, end of year, end of whatever, lots of stuff coming up. We've got lots of Christmas services, I know, over the next few days. I think you're all spreading yourselves out over them, aren't you? And but, you know, this is the time of year that we can speak about Jesus freely and openly. You know, the nativities that the schools are doing, the carols that they're singing. Jesus' name is sung about so many times. And that is exciting. That is the spiritual battle that we're having at the moment. Don't believe the lies that schools aren't allowed to talk about Jesus. Don't believe the lies that they can't share and talk about the Christian faith, because it's happening. It is happening. We have to fight. And the Bible is clear, particularly in the New Testament, that I've picked some scriptures out of 2 Corinthians 10. For though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. 1 Timothy chapter 1, fight the battle well. 1 Timothy chapter 6, fight the good fight of the faith. Ephesians 6, for our struggles are not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of the dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. 1 Peter 5, be alert and of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Joshua realized it was the will of God for him to have victory in the battle. Victory is the will of God for you. But at some point in your life, there has to be a time that you realize that the will of God is to get up and fight for it. It doesn't come to us like some special Jesus sparkle dust. And if you're going to have a miracle done in your life, it's going to take a fight. Victory can never come when we're lying down. We are compelled to get up out of our spiritual sofas and battle it out. Somewhere, that warrior mentality has to awaken in your soul. You have to say, I've been pushed around long enough by the lies of the enemy. My pride has kept me from doing too much for so long. My anger needs to be sorted out. My selfishness has kept me uninvolved for long enough. And so on and so on. Whatever it might be for you. We see God's intervention and assurance of victory because he gave Joshua and the soldiers supernatural strength. The text says that suddenly, after marching all night from Gilgal, they broke into battle. They'd been marching all night and then went into a battle. Those of you who've been in the military or been in the military, that's quite an ask, isn't it? Marching all night, it's about 30 miles, we believe. And then when they get there, they carry on fight. They wanted that element of surprise to come in and to be able to win that battle. And the only way that they could do that was because of the supernatural strength that God had given them. Joshua knew that God had assured them of the victory. He told him not to fear. And he didn't know what was going to be waiting for them. Maybe he was thinking, what now, God? What are we getting into? But God assured him he was obedient, and they went. And all manner of spectacular things happened, like the hailstones. You see, when we have long nights, those dark times of walking through things, and we want to give up, we want to think, this is it, I can't take enough. And God asks you to push on, to persevere through into the next thing. We have the joys of the morning. In Psalm 30, it says, weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. Don't waste the night time. Pray, concentrate, think about what the victory is that God wants to have. When you're thinking at night times, whether that's a period of spiritual darkness or the night time when you're feeling lonely, when you're feeling a failure, when you're feeling like you just can't go on anymore, then keep on marching and fighting as we see Joshua doing, because your God is with you and he wants you to have the victory. Joshua and his troops must have been exhausted, but it was this miracle that God sent them. He was convinced that they needed to finish the job while it was going well. And Joshua asked that the sun would stand still. And again, God demonstrates his support for Joshua. And he meets and grants this request, because God made the sun stand still for about one day. And in the midst of heaven, it didn't go down for a whole day. And in that chapter 10, it tells us, and there has been no day like that before it or after it. Now, we know scientifically the earth orbits around the sun, not the sun around the earth. And Joshua wouldn't have known any of that. And yet, the sun stood still for an additional day so that they could see and win the fight. The God who created the universe has the power to do anything. And if he wants to make an extra day and stop it and make it somehow or other all work out okay, it's his to do what he wants to do with it, if he wants to intervene and make it happen. He created it. And so therefore, he has the power to intervene. When we see the impossible happening in the natural, that's what a miracle is. When all things, again using Hannah's friend as an example, when she's been told that just looking at that situation, there is no way you're going to get pregnant, you are infertile, in the natural, the only way that can happen is when God steps in and a miracle comes along. God on our side, anything becomes possible. So the question for us today is, whose side are you on? Because God will stop nature for you. And he will cause our enemies to become our footstools, because the Bible tells us so. And we know this because of a place called Calvary, that there was a wooden cross that bore our suffering and our shame. God so loved the world that he sent a baby who would be hung on this cross at Calvary. His only crime to usher in the kingdom of God, a kingdom of peace and love. And on that horrible day, that dark Friday, between 12 and 3, the sun once again refused to shine. In Joshua's day, He commanded the sun to stand still to give his army a victory. And on that dreadful Friday, when the sun was in place but refused to shine, it was to give all humans the victory. But that was not the end of the story, because 3 days later he got up, and he got up with all the power in the palm of his hand. He says, "All authority has been given back to me." And he encourages us to join in with that authority and with that victory. Shall we pray?